I say good morning to everybody. It is wonderful to see you, and what a blessing that we have today, another day. This is indeed a day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be rejoicing for what great things that the Lord has done for us. And I say that this morning because if you've had a want to or a desire in your heart to be out at the house of God this morning, that's the Lord's work, and it's the work that the Lord has already done, and the victory that has already been accomplished, and that's why we're here this morning, to worship Him and praise Him in spirit and in truth. And I hope you've all come praying. One thing that we know, I believe that we know, is we need the Lord's presence with us in our worship service. We need Him, His presence with us all the time. We need Him. We need Him to be here with us as we worship. If we don't have Him here, if He's not with us this morning, then we have certainly met in vain. And this is all a show. But I believe when we seek Him and we pray to Him and we ask Him to be with us, He's with us. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst." And that's a wonderful feeling. We're undeserving, we're unworthy, but yet he comes down to us. What a blessing we have this morning. And I know we all got a lot going on. I don't have to look very far. I can look in my own life and I can see the troubles and things that I have around me. The people that I care about, they have troubles and things going on around them. I'm going to tell you, we've got a God in heaven who's made choice of us, as we've heard already, from before the foundation of the world, and has loved us with a love that we would know nothing about had He not revealed it to us, and born us again. That's how we're able to worship this morning. It's because we've been, if it's not meaning anything to you, then it won't mean anything to you. It'll make you angry. It won't make you want to sit here and hear about it. But if you hear what I'm saying and it's touching your heart, it's because the Lord has already touched your heart and given you a new heart. Amen. He's born you again of His Spirit. Amen. That's not any action that you took. That's not any action that I took. That's not any action that any man did anything for you. That is the Lord's work. And we need Him. I need Him. The 121st Psalm. It's been on my mind this morning. And it says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Let's think about that for a minute. If we can lift our head up this morning, it's because God's given us life already, see? And I can lift up mine eyes to the hills. What that hills is, the mountains. I believe we've come up to the mountain this morning. I believe we've come out to this little heavenly Jerusalem that God's given us here on this earth as His people, this place of comfort. And we can lift up our eyes to the mountain. We can lift up and we can see that the help's not just here. It's not just the church. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. He's the top. He's the head. And He's not just any old Lord. He's the Lord that made the heaven and the earth. He's the Creator. A lot of times we look to help and we want to find help in other things. And that help's not really good help. I wouldn't even call that help. Sometimes you can say you have help. You can even pay your help. Right? You can pay somebody to have help and they'll do a terrible job, won't you, Sister Dale? We talked about that this morning. I'm going to tell you, our Lord doesn't fail. And that's what it says here. It says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." He doesn't sleep. He doesn't ever have to sleep. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get tired. He's long-suffering with us, brethren. He doesn't get tired of us. He doesn't get tired of us pouring out our supplications unto Him and saying, Lord, I need you. Aren't you thankful sometimes? Aren't you thankful this morning that He doesn't get tired of hearing my prayers or your calls, because we're always needy. But it says we can pour out our prayers to Him. My help cometh from the Lord. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Who is that Israel? That Israel is the spiritual Israel. That is all of His elect family of God. Every one of them that is more innumerable than the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. That's an awful big family we're a part of this morning. What a blessing we have to know that He's keeping us, brethren. Whatever you have going on, I don't know what you got going on necessarily. I don't know. I don't know the inside of your heart, but God does, and God knows, and He's not sleeping, and He's not slumbering. And there are times you may call your best friend and they won't answer the phone. There may be times you can't call your mama or your daddy because they're no longer physically here for them to do that. But I'm telling you, we have a God in heaven who lives forever and reigns forever and is always there for His people. And that is a joy and a benefit and a privilege to us this morning. And that's where we need to turn to. All of these other things that we sometimes want to go to. Sometimes I want to go to Google and I want to read this article about how this thing is supposed to make me feel better. And by the time I got through that, I got six other things I was worried about. Instead of the one I was looking for. When I need to be looking to the hills from which my help cometh. And who is my help? My help is the Lord. And He's your help too. And He's not sleeping and He's not slumbering. We may sometimes feel like, well, Lord, where are you at? He's right there. The Lord is, get this language now. I love the language. This isn't halfway language. This isn't a maybe. This says, He shall and He is. Get that. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. He is. Does that make sense? That means He's right now. Whether you're looking for it or whether you recognize it or not, He is. He is. The Lord is. The Lord is thy keeper. He's our protector. His hand of care is over us. It's over your family. I can't do nothing for my daddy tomorrow. I can't do nothing for it. But I can. I can pray to the Lord because He is in the Lord's hands. And the doctors can't do nothing for my daddy tomorrow, but the Lord can provide. He can give to those doctors. He can guide their hands. We need the Lord in all things. I hope we understand that this morning. That it's not the doctor is, it's not daddy is, it's the Lord is. It's the Lord is. Rest in that. We have a rest in that this morning. It says this: the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. That's good to know. It's good to know that despite my old sinful nature that I can't get rid of, that the Lord's work has been accomplished. It's been finished. And nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. That's what it says in Romans. And I believe that's what it means. It says in Romans 8. Romans 8 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Who shall? Shall it be any of those things you experience in any of those things this morning? I believe that we are. But it's good to know and rest in the fact that none of those things, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If that's not a finished work, brethren, I don't know what is. That's a finished work. And once you're there, you're always there. No matter what happens around you, no matter how bleak the situation is, no matter how bleak it may appear from a natural perspective, you will be delivered. That's what it says. The Lord shall preserve thee. He shall, from all evil, he shall preserve thy soul. And then I like this last verse. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Brethren, you're either going out or coming in. You're either doing one of those two things. So either whether I'm coming out or whether I'm going in, he's got us preserved. And that's not anything we did on our own. That's all his work. All praise, glory, and honor be to his holy name. May the Lord bless you richly. God bless you. Psalm 121 and every other verse that's in the Word of God, because it is God's Word, it's His inspired Word, and it's given for our benefit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that means God breathed it, and it's profitable for doctrine, for what we believe in the fundamental principles of God's Word, for reproof, for correcting us, for instruction in righteousness, to teach us how we ought to live in a righteous way, looking unto the Lord. A doctrine for reproof, for correction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, notice who it's written to. Yes. It isn't written to make children of God. It's written to those who have already been born of the Spirit, that were chosen by God even before the foundation of the world, that are preserved, as we've heard, in him. But it's written for our instruction, that the man of God may be perfect. That doesn't mean without sin. And we're not going to get in this world, you and I, to where we're going to be without sin. But it means to be mature, that we might be growing in grace and knowledge of the truth. Might be perfect, truly furnished. The word of God truly furnishes us unto all good works. That's why it's important for us to read it. That's why it's important for us to study it and be attentive to it, that we might find the peace and the rest and the joy that God has for us here in time. And a world is filled with everything but that. And in spite of all that, we are more than what? Conquerors through him that loved us. That's what we heard today. Thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for each of you. Stand before you this morning, wanting to just express to you how much I love you, how much it means to me to have a body of brethren and friends and family among the Lord's people, and what a blessing the Lord has provided for me in Little Happy Creek Church, Union Church, the other sister churches that are around us. And all the brothers and sisters that I know, based on my relationship with them through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just think what my life would have been like, and I don't like it, the thought of it, if God had not sent His grace into my life, allowing me to know Him first and foremost. But then also, the family of God that I've enjoyed, sweet, sweet fellowship with here in this world. Been some hard times and some difficult times, But the Lord is faithful, and He has provided for us what we need down through the years. Amen. And I believe with all my heart He will continue to provide until the day we leave this world. But I just want to encourage you, keep looking to Him. Keep trusting in Him. Keep leaning upon the Lord. All good things come from Him. And without Him, we can't do anything. And in this world filled with trouble, you need Him. And I need Him. And we need the fellowship that we find at the house of God. We need to do what the Lord's told us to do in keeping His commandments, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We need to be students of His Word. We need to be doing what these little families are doing today and bringing their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We don't send those little ones out into another room in order for them to be taught in some other way or some other manner. We believe the gospel is for all of them. We believe it's for all of God's children, whatever age they might be, young or old. We believe they ought to be here, and they ought to be as much as they can listening to the Word of God being preached and taught. We know there's going to be some noise that comes from little ones. Anyone who's had little ones, if you don't know that, it's probably because you've never had little ones. And that doesn't mean you've never been around them. You don't have to have them to be around them to know them. That's a good thing too. If you know them, you know they're going to make some noise along the way. But we also know that we want to, as much as we can, bring them under the sound of the gospel. Now, can we born them again?
No.
We know that answer. Now, the world doesn't know that answer.
That's right.
But we know that answer. And the Word of God tells us that answer, that the new birth comes from where? Doesn't come from down here. Doesn't come from the ground up. It comes from heaven down.
Amen.
The new birth is a birth from above.
Amen.
And John the Baptist, in the book of John, chapter 3, the Lord told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. He wasn't telling him to get born again.
No.
He was telling him that there's an absolute necessity for anyone to see any spiritual truth or have any spiritual understanding, that they must be born from above.
Amen.
They must be born of God.
Amen.
And here's the good news. As the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. What that means is, God will effectually call everyone that He foreknew. According to Romans 8, He foreknew them, He foreloved them, He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's a strange word to many of God's little children, even in the world, when you talk about predestination. But if you read your Bible, and those who have read the Bible know this is true, you'll find it in the pages of God's Word.
Amen.
It doesn't teach that God predestinates every event that takes place, good and evil. But it does teach that God predestinated His people. What that means is He prefixed their destiny to be with Him one day in glory. And you and I can sing safe in the arms of Jesus, safe in His love because of what He did.
Amen.
Y'all believe that?
Amen.
God foreknew you, that means He foreloved you. He knew you like a husband knows his wife in a very intimate way. He knew you in a very special way. He didn't know you just generally and love you just generally like He loved everybody. And the idea in the world is that God just loves everybody but no one in particular. And He's hoping and praying some of them will respond to that love in order that He might really have them in glory. But He hasn't assured that fact at all. It's just been made possible. And now it's all left up to you to seal the deal. I'm glad that's not the truth. I hope you're glad that's not the truth. But whether you're glad or whether you're not, it's still the truth. The truth is the truth. Now, I want to tell you, as glad as I can, and I want to be as happy about it as I can. I know I'm not up here to drive to feed chickens or try to drive chickens or try to drive cattle. I'm here to feed little lambs and little sheep, so I want to be as humble as I can. I want to be as meek as I can. I want to be as gentle as I can. I want to be as authoritative as I can. From the Word of God, I want to let you know this morning that your salvation is secured in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what He did for you, He didn't try to do, He didn't hope to do. he didn't want to do. And you can let not your heart be troubled today, because he came and did the very will of the Father. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Isn't that true? He said, I'm troubled a lot, aren't you? I still get troubled. Still get concerned. You know why I get concerned and why I get troubled? Because I forget what he told me. And I need to be reminded of it. We don't come to church to get life, but we come to the Lord's house to get reminded of the life that's been given to us so that we might live that life in a way to honor God. We don't say God's done it all and there's nothing for me to do, because God has done it all. But God, who did it all, made you to be something. And he made you to live in a way and honor him in a way and walk in a way that's pleasing to him. And that is where the challenge comes for you and I to be what he would have us to be. And that challenge is not ours to carry alone. I read after a commentary, and I'd probably read it before. I've read a lot of commentaries down through the years. But it was good this morning for me, because I felt like the Lord just put it right there. Just like he gave that little brother a song this morning. I don't think that was happenstance. Y'all believe? I don't believe everything's predestinated, but I believe God's hand was in that. I believe God's hand is in that. And he says, safe in his love. I'm safe in his love. You're safe in his love. When I go to that doctor's appointment tomorrow, I'm safe in his love. When you're praying for me, we're safe in his love. Whatever's coming tomorrow, and I don't have a clue what that is. This may be the last time I ever stand before you. We don't know what that might be, but I want you to know from my mouth and from the word of God, we are safe in his love, because what he did for us was a perfect finished work. God didn't do any sloppy work. He didn't do half the work. He didn't say, look at it, is that pretty good? Is that okay? No, he saw it, and it was a finished work because Jesus did it. And it glorified God, and it glorified the Son. And you and I one day are going to be glorified because we got a glorified Savior seated on the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you and me.
Amen.
And I want to declare that not only whatever, whenever I'm before God's people, I want you to trust in him. It doesn't sound good when somebody says he did all this and now you better make sure you get in it. You better make sure you got it all figured out. You better make sure you got it all right. And what happens is God's little children leave that place with a broken heart and a sad countenance. And it's only God's little children that are affected by that, by the way. Because I'll tell you about the world. If the Lord hadn't touched your heart, if the Lord hadn't tended your heart, hadn't made you alive, you could care less. And so would I. If it had not been for the grace of God, we wouldn't be concerned about being his children. We wouldn't be concerned about living in heaven. It doesn't even sound like a good place. But I believe today it sounds like a good place to you.
Amen.
It's a good time when we can come together and sing. It's a good time when we can come together and hear preaching. It's a good time when we can hug one another's neck and love one another. It's a good time when we can fuss and then make up and find peace in the Lord. It's a good time even when we've denied him. And he comes to us and picks us back up like he did a Peter who denied him 3 times and said, I'll never do it. And yet he did it. And the Lord didn't leave him hanging, did he? You know, he'd have been just if he'd have left Peter right there. He'd have been just if he'd have left me and you right there. He'd be just if he didn't deal with us at all. But he was just in the sense that Jesus paid the price. And because of that, you and I got a king who's worthy of our praise. We've got a Savior who we can look to. We've got an elder brother. We've got someone to lean on and depend upon in the middle of the storms of life, who will help you when you lose someone that you can't hardly stand to think about losing. You know he's with the Lord, and he's with you. Talking about happy, little Levi couldn't be happier today. You talking about happy, my Uncle Royce couldn't be happier today.
Amen.
My daddy, who's been with the Lord now for a while, is happy with the Lord and all of our loved ones. And my mind flows to the many of God's little children who'd fill these benches and other benches where I've stood before God's people and tried to preach. And they were here and they listened to the word of God. And they enjoyed the meetings here. But I'm telling you, what they've got in heaven doesn't hold a... or what they had in here doesn't hold a glimpse to what they're enjoying today. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
It should make you happier, right?
Amen.
should make us maybe even shout a little bit, but that wouldn't hurt anything. Sometimes in an old Baptist church, if somebody would shout, and everybody would get shocked. It ought to be not something so shocking. We ought to pray, revive us, O Lord. And I'm not talking about hollering just for hollering's sake. I'm talking about when you're happy in the Lord, say so. This morning, we song service was so sweet to me, I couldn't hardly sing. That sounds strange, doesn't it? But I just kind of wanted to shout. Thank the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. John 14, verse 1. Ye believe in God. That's a fact. It's not telling you something to do. It's telling you something that you're doing. You're believing in God. Let's believe in His Son. Let's believe that He came as the Father had sent Him. Let's believe that He died on the tree of the cross and paid the sin debt. Let's believe that He suffered every bit of the pain and the agony that would have been mine in an eternity of hell. He bore it there in my room instead. Let's believe that He didn't just do it for everybody in general, but He did it for His people, which is the world of His elect people, which is a number that no man can number, but it's not everybody, but a number that no man can number out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And let's believe that when He finished the work, that it was done, and that when He went to the grave, He didn't stay there, but He's a resurrected Savior. And He showed Himself for 40 days. And then He ascended back unto the Father. And I'm telling you, there was a royal procession that took place in heaven when Jesus returned. And He sat down on the right hand of the Father. And what is He doing? He's making intercession for you and me today. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
So let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house, there's a place He was going. He had told His disciples, I'm going to a place. Peter said, Lord, I don't want You to go away. He said, why cannot I follow Thee? I will lay down my life for Thy sake. That's Peter speaking out of his pride like we do sometimes. He thought he was sincere. He just was sincerely wrong. He really thought he would do that. But he had too much confidence in himself. That commentary that I read this morning talked about the importance of faith. That is trusted in the Lord. He said one of the things that has to happen for you to have really faith that's trusting in the Lord is you've got to distrust in yourself. And I thought that's really true. You got to recognize what I can do without the Lord. That's one of the things the Bible teaches us. That's why sometimes when you go to an old Baptist church, you might feel like they're really beating up on you because I've said it this way. They tell you that you're no good. And then they tell you that your mom and daddy was no good. And then they tell you that your grandparents are no good. And then they really hit home and tell you your children are no good because they came from you. We all have what? Sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. So what can we do to help the Lord? Absolutely, positively, nothing. And Jesus told His disciples, without me you can do nothing. And even when we would do good after the new birth, the Apostle Paul said, even when I would do good, I find evil present with me. So if salvation is between us and the Lord and us getting it done, we've got a problem. Because those who cannot do anything can't help the Lord get done what He needs to get done. Here's the good news. I want to share it today. In love, and I know I'm a little animated, but that's okay. In love, and as much as I can, I want you to know the good news. He doesn't need my help. And He doesn't need your help because of this verse. He tells us what He did. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I want you to know, here's where the deal gets sealed, so to speak. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. That means we've got the Word of God that He's given us to let us know that He did what He did. And that's all the preaching is.
That's right.
It's a simple gospel. It's just to tell you over and over again in many different ways from many different places in the Word of God about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and what that means for you and for me.
Amen, brother.
It doesn't make it happen. It doesn't make it occur. It's already happened. It's already occurred. We just get to tell you about it.
That's right.
I don't get to help the Lord get it done because He doesn't need my help. And you don't get to help the Lord get it done for you because He doesn't need your help. He's already done it. Isn't it good that we get to declare to God's little children the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He did it. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know why there are many? Because He has many children. They're out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue. There are some who have the idea that there are going to be a lot of mansions up there that do not have anybody in them. Because he made them up there, but there's going to be a failure on their part to do their part. And so even though they're up there for them, they won't be in them. I want you to know there's not going to be any empty mansions in heaven. Y'all, I hope, don't believe there's going to be any mansions. I don't believe the Lord built something that didn't get, is not going to have an occupier.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, what Brother Jimmy has laid out from Romans 8 tells us, and the Word of God tells us, and I encourage you to read it, Romans 8, 29 and 30, for whom he did foreknow, that is all of his people that he foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That means he predestined or predetermined them to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. You know why we have many mansions? Because there are many brethren.
That's right. Amen.
I believe we have some of those wonderful little mansions down here already. When we have the wonderful presence of the Lord, we feel his fellowship and we feel his presence, and he's in our heart, dwelling in our heart. It's a heavenly place. I believe that's what he's talking about in Psalm 91. That secret place of the Most High, and you're dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. I believe those are wonderful places. They had them in the Old Testament. We have them in the New Testament. And you know why we have those blessed places? Because Jesus died and rose again. And we have an earnest of what's awaiting us given to us right now. That's why you enjoy church so much. It's the closest thing you're going to get to heaven here in this world.
Amen.
For God's little children going home to glory, I hope you like church. Because that's what you're going to have in heaven. Somebody said, I don't know what we're going to do in heaven. It's going to be church all the time. Oh, some of you, I don't know about that. But it won't be with the benches won't get hard. Get this. The benches won't get hard. The preachers will never preach too long. Your attention span won't be scattered and shared somewhere else. You'll be able to sing every song like you sung the very. Have you ever just sung a song down here and felt so much the Spirit of God that you just didn't want to go anywhere else? Have you ever heard a preacher preach, and as he's preaching, you just don't want him to quit? You want him to keep on preaching, and your thoughts were so carried away from your troubles and your cares that you just felt like, I don't want to go home. I don't want to leave. I don't want to take the parting hand. I can't even talk. It's a little heaven here below. That little old church, right, brother? That I love so well. You got a lot of memories of those that the Lord has given you in your heart. These are treasures laid up for us to help us in the storms and the problems of life. And I encourage you, lay up every one of those treasures you can. What does that mean? Go to as many meetings as you can and remember as much of it as you can. And when you go away from the house, don't just close this book and don't look at it anymore. You dig in it. You study it. You search it. And then you think about the wonderful things that the Lord has given you. And then he'll give you a little more. You'll get hungry. And guess what will happen? You'll come back to the house of God. And some old preacher that doesn't have a clue of what he's doing will be able to preach and teach and feed you because God's hand's in it.
Amen.
I've heard a lot of good preachers. Thought of Brother Charles Alderton. Sister Ruth made me thinking my memories roll back. Thought about Brother Charles. One of the things I remember about him, that he, as a young man, he'd be, when the church doors would open and folks would come in, he'd go back and greet everybody. He would go. That's why I try to do it. Because I saw that. And it meant a lot to me to see and feel that. But I've heard him preach to where I sat on the bench as a young man and didn't care about a thing. I just felt the peace and the joy. And he wasn't with me very long. I didn't know him. I knew him, but he meant so much to me. And then the number of preachers that the Lord has blessed me to know down through the years, what they have meant to me. But I'm telling you, without the Lord Jesus Christ, they wouldn't have been anything.
That's right. Amen.
But because of him, we've been blessed, haven't we? He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. That means the word of God assures us. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. What did Jesus say? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his people. What did he do when he went to the cross? He went to prepare a place for us. What did he do when he went to the cross? He prepared a place for us. Do you think there's going to be any place he prepared for us that we won't have? Do you think he prepared a place and we didn't get it? Do you think he prepared a place and we won't get there? I want you to know, not only did he prepare a place for us, he prepared us for a place.
Amen.
That's what Jimmy preached this morning. Brother Jimmy preached to us. He prepared for us a place. He preserved us. He not only prepared for us a place, he prepared us for the place. And everyone that he prepared a place for will get that place that they prepared, was prepared for them. And we know that because for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, then he predestinated the same ones he also what? Called. You know what that means? He was born every one of them again.
Amen.
And those whom he called, then he also justified. What that means is that he died for every one of them and he justified them, which means he made them just as if they had not sinned.
That's right. Amen.
And then he really closed it out when he says, and them he justified, them he also glorified. And what that means is everyone for whom he died and paid the sin debt will be with him in heaven in immortal glory. And there will not be the loss of one. Jesus said it this way. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that he had given me, I should lose nothing, nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, hear the words. And if I go and prepare a place for you, did he go? Absolutely. Did he prepare a place for you? Yes. What did he say? I will come again. And I will what? Receive you unto myself. Do you believe one of those for whom he prepared a place will miss the place? Not according to this verse. And he says, and here's the end of it. And he says that where I am, there ye may be also. Not may in the sense maybe you'll be there, maybe you won't, no. But in the sense this is absolutely how it takes place. These little ones have been so patient and they've listened so well. I just thank the Lord for them. I thank the Lord for all of you. And let's just remember to thank the good Lord for the salvation that's in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's by his grace and his grace alone. When you have a mind to pray, amen. Remember me and God bless you.
God bless you.
Five 588.